I'm on. Up. All righty. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. So I have so much to say, and y'all aren't going to look at my big red clock back there. You're just going to chill. If you want to get some coffee, cookies back there, go for it. Just relax, okay? Last week we started a series on money, right? How many of you boldly came into ICF last week? You know, the roads were supposed to be really icy. Turns out they weren't so bad. But we started a series on money, and it really is money versus mammon. And I'll talk a little bit more, because if you weren't able to be here last week, we kind of defined that. But we're talking about God's way, God's system versus the world's way and the world's system on what they do with money and how they perceive money, okay? And last week we said you can either earn it or you can chase it. And you know, the world says, hey, you need to chase money. You need to get more money. You have to have money. You have to, and money's good. Let me tell you, I like money, but it's what you do and how you go about it that just can get off whack. And God has a whole different way of how we perceive money, how we handle money, what we do with money. So that was last week, and we're going to go into this week. Praise God. Before I get a little bit deeper in our message, how many of you have ever watched the TV show called Hoarders? Raise your hand. Okay. It's kind of incredible. Like, the first time I watched one of them, I'm like, whoa, that's like crazy, okay? Now, though I do know some people that struggle, and you may be here and you may be listening online, that struggle with hoarding. And and we're not making fun of it, even though we're like, wow. But today I'm going to use that concept, and it's kind of going to go with our message. So, hoarding. What is hoarding about? There are people that have difficulty letting go of things, and then the things, and more things. They have difficulty letting go of it, okay? And the struggle is very real in their life, so much so that some of those people, especially on the TV show, they actually bring in professional counselors to talk to them and give them an understanding on why they do what they do, okay? And because they have an issue of parting with things. Now, anybody know if those people don't point at them if they're sitting next to you, okay, at your house? But, you know, there's people that really do struggle with that in to such a way. So we're going to talk about the hoarding, but I want to talk about not quite like the show, but we're going to talk about the world that says you need to hoard money versus that God says you need to save money. And those are two different things. Does everybody say hoarding? Saving. One's the world's way, one's God's way. And how many of you want to do it God's way? How many of you have tried it the world's way? Man, I've tried it, so I like God's way, all right? Now, crazy thing, you know, you can receive Jesus, which is not crazy, but it's a wonderful thing. But you can receive Jesus, and you could be like, oh, I'm a Christian. I know what to do with money. Well, guess what? You might not know what to do with money God's way. So you're going to have to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God has great wisdom on how we handle money. So much so, Jesus, and I said this last week, in the parables that Jesus spoke, he most often in his parables talked about finances, what you do with your money, how you handle your money, and your attitude. So Jesus was big on that, and the Bible is big on that. And we said this last week, there's probably more scriptures on the subject of money, finances, how you handle it, than there are on love. So Google, how many scriptures of love? There's about 500 scriptures on love. There's about 500 scriptures that have to do with peace and, excuse me, prayer. But there's 2,500 scriptures in your Bible that have to talk about money and your attitude. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing. And I'll be, you know, just kind of be honest with you. For a long time, I just kind of stayed away from the pulpit talking about money. You know, because, and it was dumb, and God said that was dumb, and he said, and that's why he talks to me, and he said, you know what, Dee, unless you teach people the word and give them knowledge on how to walk in it, they're going to do it not my way, all right? So they will have to hear the word of God and the principles of God and what God has to say about money in order to walk better with it. So I like to teach, so get ready, here we go. All right? Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Jesus made this statement, and we said this scripture last week. It was kind of our key kickoff scripture. Matthew 6, 24. Jesus said this: "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. No one can serve God and mammon." And that was the first time Jesus threw out this new word, and we went and said, hey, the word mammon means money. The word that in the simplest, lowest form, it means money, but the money's way in the world, the money's way in the world system. That's what mammon means, okay? And Jesus says, hey, you cannot serve God and mammon. So here's a question. Here's a question. It's not how much money do you have, how much money do you get, but how about this? This is the question. How do you handle the money that you have? So it's not how much you get, but how do you use this money that you have and honor God? That's really the question. All right, now, here I'm going to give you another question. Question number two, ready? I'm going to give you two statements, but which statement concerns you more? I hate to say this, but worries you more? Which statement? There's no God, or there's no money in my bank account? Don't call out, okay? So I want you to think of which one of those would concern you more. There's no God, or there is no money in my checking account, my bank account, and I need some money, all right? So guess what? You know what? Most people answer that question. Of course, none of us. Somebody else, right? But most people say, hey, what concerns me more is there is no money in my bank account. Okay? And they think, you know that God thing, I'll deal with that later. But right now, there is no money in my account, and that's the most important thing. So, in your Bible, there are lots of stories about people who are poor, and there's lots of stories about people who are really rich. Okay? There's both stories in your Bible. And here's the thing. God's not mad because you're poor, and God's not mad because you're rich. As a matter of fact, he wants to help both of those, the rich and the poor. The poor so they get out of that, and the rich so they have a good attitude and use it wisely. Okay? Just jot this down. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. We talked about this a little bit, but Matthew 19. There's a story about a young man. The Bible calls him the rich young ruler. Everybody know the story, the rich young ruler. And this guy comes up to Jesus and he goes, "Hey Jesus, you know I've done all these great things in my life. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. You know I was thinking about that. You were going to go up to Jesus, the Son of God, and start tooting your horn." Like, really? But he does, and he says, "Jesus, this is all the things I've done in my life." And Jesus comes back, all right, and he says, "Well, here's one thing. I want you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor," all right? Now, the reason why I say this is because some people have read this scripture and they go, "Well, you know, Pastor D, you know what Jesus was saying? He's saying that you need to sell everything you have. You need to sell everything and give it to the poor, and that way you can get into heaven." I'm like, no, first off, you cannot buy your way to heaven. There is no amount of money that you can give to anybody that will get you into heaven, right? The Bible says that you get to heaven or is by receiving Jesus, for by grace you are saved and nothing else, right? All right, so you get to heaven by receiving Jesus, period, all righty? So there's this story Jesus tells about the rich young ruler. Now I want to give you two more stories, two examples in the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about hoarding again, or saving, hoarding and saving. So just jot this down. You can read it later. It's found in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. So in Exodus chapter 16, we have the children of Israel. They have just been miraculously crazy, amazing manifestations, demonstrations, and visitations from God. And he brings them out of Egypt, and now they're in the desert. They're in the wilderness, okay? And in case you don't know why they got in the wilderness, they got there because of their disobedience, okay? It wasn't because their GPS system was broken. It wasn't because God's like, yeah, just leave them over here. They got there because they were doing the opposite of what God was telling them, all right? So we got the children of the of Israel, we got them, and they're in the wilderness, and they start doing this. Complain, complain, complain. Now, I'm sure nobody's ever complained before, right? Some of you are complaining about the weather when you came in here this morning, okay? So we get this complaining thing, okay? So, but here's the children of Israel. They're in the wilderness. They're in this desert, and they start complaining like, God, what is going on? God, we just came out of Egypt. You were in bondage. God, I think it was better back there. God, what is going on? All right, and really what they were trying to do is provoke God, you know? Okay, they're trying to provoke him, and this is what God says to them. He said, listen, I'm going, oh, by the way, they're also complaining, not about the weather, probably about the weather, but they are complaining about, we need some food. We want some food, okay? And God says, okay, and he starts raining manna from heaven. In the morning, you woke up, and it wasn't frost on the ground, it was manna on heaven. And it was really interesting, I looked this up years ago, the word manna in the Hebrew means, what is it? And I was like, yeah, I would have been saying that too. What is it? Okay, and most scholars say this thing that fell from heaven was a flaky substance, sort of like bread that you could do stuff with, okay? So God is raining this stuff down from heaven. And by the way, we're talking about hoarding versus saving and doing things God's way, okay? So God gives them some instructions about this substance, this manna. He says, now I'm going to use this as an example so it makes sense. Hey, y'all, you can get one bucket and fill it up for one day. So everybody, you can go and get one bucket and fill it up for one day. But don't do any more. Okay, now, how many of you know some people would have said, no more than you. I'm going to go get two buckets. All right? And then we always have the bunch that says, I'm going for three because I know more than God, so I'm going to take more. Okay. But here's what God said, right? Go get one bucket, fill it up. Fine. And then the next day, when you get up in the morning, go get your bucket, fill up one bucket. But you know, there's that bunch that says, well, I'm going to fill up three buckets. I'm going for three. All right. And this is what happens. God says, well, one of your buckets, you can fill up and you're going to eat out of that. But you know, those others too, they're going to be full of maggots. Ugh. So, bugs don't creep me out. I figured out I'm a giant next to a bug. I see bugs, I stamp on them. Okay, if Amber was here, we had one crawling on the office and I just smacked it and it's still kind of stuck up there. It's been there like for 3 months, no big deal. Bugs, spiders, they don't get me. But maggots, God, it's involuntary, okay. So, but it's interesting. God gives some instructions. All right? And there's still a bunch that didn't follow the directions. Right? So, can you believe that? Can you believe that? All right? So God said, one bucket a day, except this one exception. We love exceptions, don't we? My kids always go, but mom, exceptions, okay? One exception. And he said, this is what God said. The day before the Sabbath, you can go out and collect two buckets. Only the day before the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath, I want you to rest. Those were the directions, okay? So, what was God trying to do? Oh, he's such a controller. Are you kidding me? No, this is what he was trying to do. I don't want you to hoard. Everybody say hoard. Yeah. Okay. I don't want you to trust in anything but me. That's what was going on. He's teaching him about trust, all right? Okay. Now, the world has this system going on about get more, aka hoard, hoard. And God has a different ones. And listen, God is not a hoarder, and he doesn't want you to hoard. He wants you to save. And we're going to talk about what that looks like in a moment. But so we've got this one group, and he's trying to teach them to trust him. Everybody say trust. Trust, okay? And he says, listen, one bucket each day, all right? And you're not to take any more. Except, you know, for the Sabbath, you can get two buckets, and I want you to trust me, all right? So that's one story, all righty? But listen, you go and get six buckets. You can eat out of one, but you got five buckets full of maggots, okay? I want you to trust me. Now, here's another story. It's found in Genesis chapter 40 all the way through 47. Just jot it down. Go read this tonight. It's good. It's a good kid's story, too. So Genesis chapter 40, verses 40 through 7. Okay, the story's about Joseph. How many of you know the story about Joseph? Great man of God, did great things for God. We're going to jump into this part of the story where now Joseph is now second in command of Egypt. First we got Pharaoh, and then there's Joseph. He's running the country, aside from Pharaoh, all righty? And the Bible says that there's going to be 7 years of famine. But before the 7 years of famine, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. Now, how many of you like the plenty side? Yeah. Okay. The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, I was like, oh, just have the famine side. No, I like the plenty side, okay? So Joseph gets this from God, and he said, listen, Joseph, there's going to be plenty. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. And during those 7 years, I want you to collect, to bring in, to save, so you'll be ready for the 7 years of famine, all right? Those were the directions, okay? And the reason, and you know, like all good two-year-olds, we go, well, why, God? He says, well, I'll tell you why, because there's going to be, if you do this, there's going to be food saved up for all of Egypt. And of course, we know the story that Joseph's family was able to come in and receive from that too. So we've got this going on here. Now, it's a great story. Everybody love that story. I love it, okay? But I'm just going to break this down maybe in a little different manner, okay? So what God is really saying to Joseph is, hey, Joseph, I want you to save. Now, is God against saving? No. Is he against you having a savings account? No. A retirement account? No. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about this. Now, my parents were born in the 20s, 1923. And if you were to describe that generation that lived around then and then on, they're called the Great Saver Generation. All right, the great savers, they would save. And most of them had to learn that because they came through some really tough times, the Great Depression. And I remember my mom telling me some stories as a little kid around the table with tons of food, and she'd tell me these stories. I was like, what? Okay, so my parents both came out of this era, this generation, were saving, save, save, save. One thing that I didn't notice it until I was in high school. You know, as you get a little older, I think your brains get a little smarter here. So I noticed, I was in high school, junior high and high school, every day my dad would pack himself a sandwich, stick it in his coat pocket. Back then he wore a suit, put it in his suit pocket. He'd go out the front door and almost from here to the top of the street up here, and he'd catch the bus to go into Manhattan. He worked in Manhattan. And so I thought, huh, well, I wonder why he's doing that. He could go out to eat, but my dad packed a sandwich every day because he was a saver. All right? Save. Everybody say save. Save. Sure. He had money to go out to eat every day, but he was a saver, and he understood saving. So then along comes me, and I remember my first job. Now, I used to babysit real young, but I remember my first job when I got a paycheck. I got a paycheck. You don't even want to know what my salary was. It was like under a dollar back way back then because I'm so young. Okay, so I got my first paycheck, and you know what I did? I went and, thank you, spent it. I went out to the store, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. Every week, I don't have have to ask my parents for anything. I'd go out and buy new clothes and buy this, and I could go to the pizza shop without asking my mom. And we were talking to someone, my mom would give us a dollar, and you could buy us, oh no, who was I talking to? 10 cents for a slice of pizza? That's how young I am. All right, so she gives you 50 cents. I mean, you were just so wealthy back then. Okay, but anyway, so my concept is get money, spend money. Get money, spend money. Anybody have kids like that? Get money, spend money, all right? So I thought that's what it was all about, all right? Even though I grew up in a house and I saw, but I really didn't quite get it about the save thing. So let me tell you this little trivia note. Forbes recently did a survey, and they said they found out that 78% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. Of course, that's not this us, right? It's everybody over there. 78% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck, okay? And I remember those days, okay? Now, this is my young side. If you're young, well, you over here, just up over there. If you're young, okay? and parents, your parents, you need to teach your kids, and we touched on this last week, the 10, 10, 80. 10% goes where? To God. The other 10% goes where? Save. And the 80% goes what? You get to live off of it, but don't go spending all of it, all right? Okay, so anyway, this is God's kingdom, totally different than what the world says. So here we have God who tells one person, I want you to save, and then we have God telling that whole other bunch, I want you to get one bucket, okay? Okay, and what was God really dealing with? I want you to learn how to trust me. Just one bucket, because tomorrow, trust me about tomorrow, one bucket. And then we have God who's dealing with that other bunch, you know, Joseph's bunch, and he's like, you all better learn to trust me, because in the next seven years, there's no food. Can you imagine? So I was at the grocery store, and I was going to get some chicken. Forget it, Pastor D. No food, no food. That's what God was trying to get them to trust him, because there's going to be no food, no place to food except for Joseph. You had to go to Joseph, and praise God, Joseph had obeyed God. You have to come to Joseph. So everything about this has to do with trust. How you handle your money has to do with trust. Your attitude with your money has to do with trust. Just talking about trust, okay? You know, I was thinking back that Hoarders show. I remember the first time. I kind of did this. Okay, because they're trying to get so many things, and the show shows you can't even walk into their houses sometimes. There's this little path, and it's boxes and stuff and junk and boxes and stuff, okay? And they say the real bottom line is with what's going on in their heart is they can't part with things. They can't part with things. That's what's going on. So what happens? Everybody just smile at me. What happens if you become a hoarder with your money? Smile. Okay? You know, I got to get more. I got to get more. I have to have more. I have to more. What happens if that's your mentality? I've got to get more. And listen, we talked last week. That's why you should have been here last week, or you need to listen to last week. God wants you to have a job, okay? But what happens if all I really want is money? That's the thing I'm going for in life, all right? So maybe you've become a hoarder, okay? So, praise God. Just jot this one down. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, 16 through 18. I'm just going to tell you in the D. Cashman short version. God is speaking to Israel, and he says this, I fed you manna in the wilderness. I took care of you. Now, Bible trivia, listen to this. The day they left the wilderness and the day they got into the promised land, guess what? Manna stopped. Breakfast on the lawn stopped. Okay? They had to start to work for a living, earn a living, all righty? But this is God talking to them, and he says, God says to them, never will you say, or you shouldn't say, it's my power, it's my ability that got me this wealth. But it's But this is what you should say. It's God's ability. It's his power to give you the ability to get wealth. This is God talking to them after this whole trust miraculous thing, all righty? So, I was raised in a family, like I said, that they were savers. And not crazy savers, but they were savers. And after my mom passed away first, I think I was in my late 20s, and then my dad died 10 years later. And my dad left us an inheritance, all right? And we're going to talk more about inheritance, and I quite enjoyed the inheritance. But by the way, wouldn't it be nice when you die, you leave an inheritance for your kids? All the kids say, yes, dear Jesus, talk to my parents, right? Okay, all right. So I want to talk about why we save. Why we save and how we do it in a godly way. So why we save, all righty? Now, some of you are like, save, Pastor D. Okay, but if you ever talk to a financial advisor, that's somebody who advises you about your money. If you go talk to them, you know what? They're going to say, hey, buddy, I'm going to show you a plan. Because maybe someday you're not going to work till you drop dead at your desk, okay? Maybe you're going to retire. That would be nice. You're going to retire, and you're going to have money. And if you think Social Security is going to be around, I don't know. All right, so you need to have a plan. So why do we save? Number one, I'm going to give you four things, and we'll go through them fast. Number one, why we should save. Why we should save, okay, for a plan. We should have a plan. Everybody say, point to someone, say, you should have a plan. Go point your finger, right? Point, you should have a plan. We should save because we should have a plan. Open up to Proverbs. We're going to do a lot of scriptures in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21, verse 5. It says, the plans of the diligent. Okay, everybody say diligent. All right, listen, you've got to be diligent because if you quit being diligent, you're going to stop saving, and then you're going to spend all your money. You got to be diligent, but if you stop, then you're going to spend your money, and then you're not diligent, and you don't got a plan going anymore, all right? So you have to have a plan. You have to be diligent. Okay, so the plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit. Do I have to explain what that means? No, increase. Oh, I love it, okay? But anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. Anyone who, I'm going to say this, doesn't have a plan to save, what happens? Become poor. I didn't write this. Don't get mad. What's Pastor Bill Wilson say? Don't get mad at the, I love that man. Anyway, don't get mad at the preacher. Okay. So can I say this? I struggled with money for a long, long time, partly because of how I was raised, and then I married Jack. And he was the extreme opposite, okay? So I get struggling with money. But I just want to encourage you. Read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. 31 chapters. Read one chapter a day. In a month, ding, you've done it, okay? But the book of Proverbs has so much wisdom. Wisdom from every area of your life. But it has a lot of wisdom about finances, okay? And you're going to find out why it happens, all right? So read the book of Proverbs, all right? Here's another one in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Ready? Proverbs chapter 30, it says, Proverbs 30, verse 24 through 25. Slow down, Pastor D. Praise God. Okay, it says, four things on the earth are small. I'm not going through four, just one. Yet they are extremely wise. The ant. So we're talking about the ant. He's wise. They are not strong people, yet they store up their food in the summer. So what's their plan? Store up food in the summer. Do they have a plan? Store up food. Yeah, okay, so they have a plan, all right? So how many of you have a plan to buy a house down the road? How many of you have a plan that you better have a plan because you're going to need a new car down the road, all right? How many of you have a plan that maybe you want to put all your kids, help your kids through college or something like that, okay? So wouldn't it be awesome if you actually had a plan that you were diligent, that you were saving for? Just saying. By the way, I did not do that really good for about 20 years. Praise the Lord. So why do we save? Number one, for a plan. Number two. Now, this one I'm going to share with you. Some people just give me a lot of flack for this, but just listen to me. Say the whole thing. Ready? Here we go. You should save because what if you had an emergency and then you save for it. All right? I have had people, lovely people, get in my face, say, Pastor D, what do you mean save for emergency? Pastor D, save for a rainy day fund? Pastor D, then you just don't have any faith. You should just trust God that he's going to take care of you. I've had people say that, okay? So here's the thing. What if God helped you save? So when your hot water heater, you walk in your basement and it's all water down there, broke, or your washing machine or your car, what if you saved, had an emergency fund, and then you just go, oh, I have an emergency fund. I don't got to go pay for that, right? Okay? And what if you didn't have to use the emergency fund, and it starts grow, all right? And then if God would speak to you, because you got this growing emergency fund, all right, God says, you know what? I'd like you to use this for over here and help somebody. Just what if, all right? So here's what I want you to hear. Start somewhere. I'm telling you, the first 20 years, Jack and I didn't do good on this. We got the first 10, and we got the last one, the 80. But that middle save, we did not do well, all right? Okay, and then we started with an amount. I just want to encourage you, if you got the first 10 good and that second 10 where it says save, just start with some kind of amount. Just be really diligent to save, amen? Okay, moving number 3, here we go. Save for a legacy. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. Any grandchildren? Smile. Praise God. But the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. And that last part is a whole nother sermon. We're not going to get into it, okay? But write this down. Saving has to be done with a purpose. Saving has to be done with a purpose, and the purpose is to leave a legacy, to leave a legacy, okay? I remember years ago, decades, because you know I'm so young, but there was a large Christian organization, and it was the first time I had heard they have a legacy fund. A legacy fund. That means they were like, hey, you all, when you die, you can give some to your kids, but you could give it to this, and it was a Christian organization, so that the legacy will continue. By the way, if that's God speaking to your heart, call the office on Tuesday. I'll hook you up with our financial director, and they will help you set up the legacy fund, all right? Praise God, okay? But you know, my parents, I was really blessed. They left us an inheritance, okay? But I want you to hear this. An inheritance is not a legacy. Okay, an inheritance isn't a legacy. Now, you might think it is, and part of it might be, all right? But after my dad left us this money, we finished the basement and an office and the hobby room all downstairs. It was really nice, okay? Okay, but what happens is we kind of spent it all. You don't have to, but we did, just to fix that up downstairs, okay? And then it was pretty much forgotten, okay? But listen, any parent can leave a legacy for their children. And the legacy is what you put in them about God. Give them money, too. I appreciated it. I remember, okay. The legacy you want to leave, the legacy that lasts and lasts, is what you put into your child about who Jesus is and the relationship and all that. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Moving on. Last one. Praise the Lord. Number 4, why we should save. Ready? For eternity. Eternity. So I am giving to the kingdom of God to affect people for eternity. I give into the kingdom of God to affect lives for eternity, all right? And there are people here that have come here and you've received Jesus through this church and this ministry, okay? All because people gave to this place so we could have a place, because I wouldn't want to be outside today in a tent. Let me tell you, all right? And because of that, people could hear the gospel, could hear Jesus, and lives and families are forever changed And that's eternity. Praise the Lord. So Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus, and he said this. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. All right? So, you know, some people said have read that, and they're like, see, Pastor D, I just have another scripture why you're not supposed to be saving. No, that's not what Jesus meant. This is what he says. Hey, listen, if you're going to store up stuff here, okay, stuff, okay, and never do anything with a heart that blesses people and gives people, okay, that's not the right way to do it. That's not the right method, okay? And then verse 20, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Everybody say heaven. So every time you give to the kingdom of God, you are storing treasures up in heaven. Every time you give into the kingdom of God, you're storing up treasures in heaven. And your treasures of heaven are way bigger than your stuff on the earth. Amen? Amen. Good going. All right. So I was thinking about this. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be so interested in looking at my pile of treasures in heaven. I'm going to look, let me tell you. Okay. I'm going to look at your pile. No, I'm not. I'm going to look at my pile. I think about this stuff some days, okay? But you know what? I'm going to be more concerned about the people that came and heard the gospel, the people that came and received Jesus, and I will see them the eternity. That's what I'm more interested in. Amen. Eternity, all right? So, by the way, all of you here that have ever sowed into this church, the ministries here, y'all get to share together with us, okay? And that's like a whole nother message, and I'll see what we do with it, okay? Because you're a part of YCF, because you're a part of this house, because you are, you get to share in the blessings that I got to preach the gospel and somebody received Jesus, all right? You get to share. So every time that we do Christmas in July, because I know Miss Mary and Mr. Bob, they don't not only get gifts, they buy gifts from our money, but they go and tell little kids about Jesus. So every time you do that, every time, camp is another story. Man, camp, you know, the kids raise money, but we give a ton of money through YCF, through your generosity, through your giving, okay? And kids go, some kids get born again there. Some kids get spirit-filled there. Some kids finally get to a place where they hear God of the calling in life. And it's because of you all. All right, so I could go down all the things that we do, missions, okay? I was talking to Mark over there about Tammy. Go talk to Mark about Tammy. Talk to her this morning, all right? And because you give here, we give missions, and we get to support this, okay? So every time somebody has a life change, receives Jesus, praise God, you get to share, and you have now treasures in heaven. So wonderful. It's so crazy easy, all right? One more scripture. Yeah, maybe two. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Yeah, I don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy. Watch this. I think we'll close. 1 Timothy 6, 17. This is Paul, and he's talking to Timothy. Timothy was the next to take over this church. There was a change of leadership. Paul started it, turned it over to Timothy, and it's this mega church for this young guy. And Paul starts giving him instructions. Okay, and he says this, command those that are rich in this present world. Command those that are rich. Okay, by the way, guys, anybody in America, well, is like way richer than the people that he was writing this to. You are so way richer, okay? So he instructs them. So he's starting to tell, how do you act? What's your attitude? And he says, to those of you that are rich, do not be arrogant with the money that you have, nor put their hope in the wealth. Don't put your trust in wealth and money, which is so uncertain. All right? But put your hope in the Lord, okay? So don't you think that's the most important thing you should do with your finances, your life? Put your hope and trust in the Lord? Amen. Good preaching. Next part. Who richly provides us, put me in there, who richly provides me with everything for enjoyment. So God is not mad at you because you got stuff and you enjoy it. God's not mad at you, but don't let that have you. Your stuff. I used to call it Jack's toys. Don't let those toys have you, all right? Stuff, all right? God's not mad at you that you have a new car or you have a house, but don't let that have you, all right? Because you should be able to say, this is the test. What do we call that? Litmus test? This is the test. You should be able to say at any moment, Lord, I'm going to give this away because it does not have me. You have me, and I trust you. Amen? Just, you know, someday close your eyes and see if you can say that. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Turn the page, Pastor Dave. Verse 18. Ready? Command them who are rich. Command them, those who are rich, to do good things. Okay? Command them to do goods. Be rich in good deeds. That means that you help people. You help people with your monies and stuff. And be generous and share. All right? Okay, this is really where I want to get to, verse 19. In this way, if you do that, then you are laying up treasures in heaven. You're laying up treasures in heaven, all right? So, this is the bottom thing. While you're on earth, your heart is, yes, go get a job. Yes, earn money. But your heart is, I want to be a blessing. I want to bless people, okay? And then you've got treasures up in heaven. Praise God, all right? You know, we live in a world where, you know, look at any tabloid, and now I just go like this, forget buying that stuff, which I never bought, by the way. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, oh, the big stars, you know, and people, they idolize that. They want to be like that. Or you want to have, you know, all these followers, and I don't even know what half that stuff is. I know Instagram, and then they got this TikTok, and I don't know this stuff, okay? I'll be honest with you. But, the world is saying this is where it's at. This is where it's at, and it's not. Because I tell you, when you get to heaven, God is not going to be impressed with how many followers you have. When you get to heaven, nobody, and you know, I deal with this. When I get to heaven, they're not going to go, whoa, Pastor D is here. Okay? They're going to do the same thing with you, all right? And it's not how many people went to church. That's not going to impress God. You know what impresses is where you walk in and he goes, whoo, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have served me. Your heart was tender toward me. You heard my voice and were obedient to it. That's what it is. So I think we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. I only have like 5 more pages of notes, but we're doing good, baby. All right, here. So question. How do you respond to this? If you ask me, I'll tell you. But listen, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Get quiet. Lord, how do I respond to this? Please help. Please help. Thank you. Okay, that's okay. We love you, Michelle. Cool. But no, help her. Mm-mm. Hold her. Gentlemen, hold her. That's it. Thank you. We love you, Michelle. You don't have to. Okay. Okay. All right. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Again, you know, for some of you, and you know, years ago, this would have been a message that would have brought light and encouragement, direction, and oh my gosh, save. All right, so you know, we want to live well, we want to go out well, we want to live well, okay? But what do we do with this message, okay? How do you respond to it? All right, so you ask the Lord, how do I respond to this, all right? You know, there's a scripture, where did I put that down? Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all of you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You know, those that are poor carry a heavy burden, but you know, people that are wealthy carry a heavy burden. And you know, some of the studies that show that people that are millionaires and billionaires, they're struggling with their finances because they don't do it well. All right, but listen, if you, whatever you are, wherever you are, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help in this. Or Lord, shoot, baby, 10%, nothing. I'm going for more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to save more so I can be a blessing. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your word is powerful. It speaks to hearts. And fathers, we are early into 2022. I thank you, Father, that we will do this better, that we will not be hoarders, But we will save well and help your kingdom at every time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I love you. Have coffee and cookies. And happy birthday, Nevin!